I'd ask you to turn your Bible with me here this morning, if you would please, the book of the Psalms, Psalm 119. Psalm 119, as we continue on in this series of messages here on Sunday mornings, directing our ways to keep God's Word, the title of this series of messages, as well as the theme for our church here for this year, 2013. Directing our ways to keep God's Word. That means that we need to make a purposeful decision to direct our ways. It also means that we need to make a purposeful decision to direct our ways along a certain path. We need to set ourselves, we need to decide and then set ourselves in a certain direction. And then it also indicates that we need to retain faithfulness in that direction. If we're going to keep God's Word, we need to make the decision, set our direction, and then, in fact, remain faithful pursuing that particular direction in our lives. Psalm 119, we'll begin reading in verse number 1. The truth that we take up as the title of message and the truth that we're taking up throughout this series of messages actually is to be found in verse number 5. But in verse number 1, stand with me if you would for the reading of God's Word. Psalm 119, beginning of verse 1, the Word of God says, "Blessed are the undefiled in the way, who walk in the law of the Lord. Blessed are they that keep His testimonies and that seek Him with the whole heart. They also do no iniquity. They walk in His ways. Thou hast commanded us to keep Thy precepts diligently. Oh, that my ways were directed to keep Thy statutes. Then shall I not be ashamed when I have respect unto all Thy commandments. I will praise Thee with uprightness of heart when I shall have learned Thy righteous judgments. I will keep Thy statutes. Oh, forsake me not utterly." As we have noted here, right in the first 8 verses of Psalm 119, we find 4 times the word used, keep, with regard to our responsibility to obey the Word of God. Amen? We find it in verse number 2, "Blessed are they that keep His testimonies." In verse 4, "Thou hast commanded us to keep Thy precepts diligently." Verse 5, "Oh, that my ways were directed to keep Thy statutes." Verse 8, "I will keep Thy statutes." Thus we take up this truth throughout Psalm 119, the idea that we must keep the Word of God. And we have, in fact, 19 different truths in this Psalm that are revealed to us revolving around this matter. We've already, in past messages, the past 2 parts of the message, we've considered 8 of those truths. Here this morning, we'll proceed with 4 more of them. Let's have a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I pray that You would direct us here this morning yet again. Direct us so that we may be moved to direct our lives and our hearts after Your Word in obedience to Your Word. Lord, I pray, stir us up that we might go aright. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. As I've noted already, the word keep is employed with regard to keeping God's holy word 4 times in the first 8 verses of Psalm 119. In fact, throughout this psalm, the words keep and kept are employed 29 times in 29 different verses with regard to the matter of obeying the Word of God. This is almost 1/5 of the verses in the psalm. And unto this idea of the word keep or kept could also be added all of the different statements about walking after or running after or choosing to go after the way of God's Word, even as we find just 2 of those already in the first 8 verses as well. You find it in verse number 1, "Blessed are the undefiled in the way who walk in the law of the Lord." You find it again in verse number 3, "They also do no iniquity, they walk in His ways." In fact, I just want you to think about this. In the first 8 verses, there you have 8 verses, 4 times the word keep is used in 4 verses, then 2 times it talks about walking in the ways of the Lord. That means 6 out of 8 verses. That's 3/4 of the verses of the first 8 verses of this psalm put an emphasis on obeying the Word of God. Brethren, there's no doubt that this psalm has a huge focus upon this truth that we need to set our lives, that we need to direct our lives, that we need to establish the pattern of our lives to be in obedience to the Word of God. Throughout this psalm, it's clear that that is made true. But as we study the psalm then, we ask ourselves, what might we learn concerning this matter of directing our ways to keep God's Word? And it is our responsibility. God requires it, no doubt. Verse 4, "Thou hast commanded us to keep Thy precepts diligently." He requires it. God encourages us to it by saying that He, or by promising that He will bless those that do indeed walk faithfully in obedience to His Word. In verse 2, "Blessed are they that keep His testimonies." But brethren, it's still a requirement that we must fulfill. We have to make a decision. God requires it. Can we disobey Him? We can. God could say, "I want you to obey me." And I could say, "No, I'm not going to. I'm going to do it my own way instead of doing it your way." God says, "Well, this is the way of blessing." And we can say, "That's all right. You may say that's the way of blessing, but I'm going to try to acquire things my way rather than acquiring things God's way." You could choose that. But if you're going to walk in the way of obedience, there's really only one way it's going to happen. You have to decide to make your life to be established for that purpose. Else it will not happen on its own. Because the habit of the world around you, the pull and the drive of the world around you is not after obedience to God's Word. It is not. You're going to have to go against the flow. You're going to have to go against your own selfish heart if you're going to walk this way. And that's why the title of the message is Directing Our Way. You know, think about that for a moment, and I know we're still in the introduction, but I want you to think about it. When you have somebody, you know, there's an accident maybe on the road or something like that, and the police show up, and then sometimes because of where the accident is and where the trouble is that they have to clear some things away, they put a policeman or two out there to do what with traffic? To direct traffic. Now, why do they do that? Well, they do that in order so that traffic can be guided away from the troubled area, the troubled spot. They may even direct traffic. They may even, depending on how troublesome the situation is, as I'm up here, I think sometimes with Jason, it may not be an accident. Maybe because of an electric line down or something. They may actually shut off an entire road, and people that want to go that way are going to have to go a completely different track and go out and around and somewhere else and come back to where they wanted to go. And they have traffic directors out there to do that. Now the traffic director is there to specifically point you in the direction you ought to go. There's a very specific noticed authority that says you cannot go that way. You must make a detour and go that way. Or that way. You can't go this way. If they want to direct traffic on a detour, they don't just leave it up to the drivers on the road. Well, do what you want. Do whatever you think's best. Because if they did that, half the people would try to drive right down that road anyway. Wouldn't they? Maybe more than half the people would try to do that. Even with a traffic director, sometimes they try to go down the road anyway. But see, the point of a director, of somebody who's directing, means that there is a very purposeful sign, a very purposeful authority saying, not this way, that way. Well, the same thing is true in our lives. We need to take hold of ourselves, of our own lives. And when we do that, we need to make a very purposeful sign to ourselves, not that way, but this way. We need to set our foot down very authoritatively and say, not this way, that way. Amen? And there are two ways to go in your life. Away from God's Word or toward it. Away from the Lord or toward Him. You know, that's why the Bible says, and again, this isn't, we're still in introduction. These aren't even in my notes. This is all free stuff for you. You didn't even have to pay for any of this. But keep your finger there in Psalm 119. Turn over to Proverbs chapter 4. Proverbs chapter 4, verse 23. Dealing with this matter of making a decision, of making a determined directive to ourselves, to purposely direct ourselves in a certain way and away from another way. The Word of God says in Proverbs chapter 4, verse 23, "Keep thy heart with all diligence." There must be a constant guard on our heart, a diligent guard. You can't ever let that guard fall asleep. "For out of it are the issues of life. Put away from thee a froward mouth, and perverse lips put far from thee. Let thine eyes look right on, and let thine eyelids look straight before thee. Ponder the path of thy feet, and let all thy ways be established. Turn not to the right hand or to the left. Remove thy foot from evil." There must be a diligent determination, and there must be a constant pondering of what path am I on and what path am I going to travel. Am I going to travel the path required of me by the Lord my God? That is the path of obedience to His Word? Or am I just going to go with the flow? Am I just going to go my own way? Brother, we need to purposely direct ourselves to keep God's Word. Already in this study, we've considered 8 truths. We've considered that keeping God's Word is the prerequisite for the Lord's blessing. That keeping God's Word is the plan, is the Lord's plan for our daily lives. That keeping God's Word should be the passion of our hearts, should be the practice of our daily living, should be the priority of our hearts and lives, should be the platform for our prayer lives, should be the purpose for our learning of God's Word, and should be the pattern for our whole lives, throughout our whole lives. In this third part of the message, let us then consider 4 more of these truths. Number 9 on our list, but the first one here this evening. Keeping God's Word should be the pleasure of our hearts. This evening. Did I say that? Don't fall asleep on me. This morning. Amen? The first one this morning. Keeping God's Word should be the pleasure of our hearts. What brings pleasure to your heart? I could tell you a few things that brings pleasure to my heart. Winning brings pleasure to my heart. I like to win. How many of you like to lose? How many of you like to win? How many of you just like to tie every time? Yeah, well, I can't do that anymore. No more ties, because last time we ended a game out there at Ruby in a tie, Brother Floyd and his son Kyle Floyd said, "You know, tying is like kissing your sister." And I went, "That's the last time I'm ever going to tie a game. Are you kidding me? Like kissing my sister? Losing's better than that." I'm not sure if he meant my sister-in-law, any one of them, or my actual sister, but whatever. Amen. Wouldn't you say losing's even better than that? Yeah, amen. Amen. So now my list is winning, losing, or tying. Everything. I'm going to do anything I can not to end up in a tie. Not now. Amen. But the fact of the matter is that there are a lot of things that may bring pleasure to our heart. Certain kinds of food probably please you. Do you have favorite foods? Yeah, sure. There's lots of things that bring pleasure to our hearts, but what brings the most pleasure? You know what it ought to be? Obeying God. It ought to be obeying God. Turn with me, if you would, to Psalm 119, verse number 54. Psalm 119, verse number 54. The psalmist here in Psalm 119, verse 54 through 56, expressed the pleasure of his own heart, saying, "Thy statutes have been my songs in the house of my pilgrimage. I have remembered thy name, O Lord, in the night, and have kept thy law. This I had because I kept thy precepts." Now, I want you to see this. Verse 54, he said, "Thy statutes have been my songs in the house of my pilgrimage." But how that the Word of God, the statutes of the Word of God, and you know it's really interesting, he didn't say, thy promises have become my song. He said, thy statutes. That's the rules and regulations of the Word of God. Many of us might find the promises of God's Word to be a song, wouldn't we? In fact, we sing songs. We sing songs about heaven. What are we really singing about? Well, we're singing about the promise of heaven that the Word of God reveals. We sing songs about salvation. And in many of those cases, we're singing songs about how, you know, I was once a sinner, but then I came. Pardon to my soul. Amen? What am I talking about? I'm talking about the promise of salvation that I have in faith in Christ. So I'm singing about the promise of salvation, the promise of heaven. But do we sing songs about the commandments of God's Word? Oh yeah, amen. We do have some. Praise the Lord. But you know, that's what he was saying. He wasn't saying, all your promises are my song. He was saying, all your commandments are my song. All your statutes are my song. All your precepts, those are my songs in my pilgrimage. And how did those become his song? Well, he gives the answer in verse 56. He says, this I had. Your statutes became my song. This I had because I kept thy precepts. Let me tell you something. If you walk faithfully in obedience to God's Word, you will find that the commands and counsels, precepts and principles, standards and statutes of God's Word, the wisdom and warnings of God's Word really are the best way to go. And as you follow that path and you look back and how much you've avoided in life and you see others who've gone down and gone astray and the trouble and the trials and the mess that they've made of their life because they did not obey, but you walked in obedience and you look back and you say, certainly, following God's commands have been the path of a song. So much better. So very much better. Some of you might even look at your life and you don't need to necessarily look at someone else's life, but look at your own life during certain periods of time and your own life at other periods of time and say, if I compare the two, there's no doubt. And walking in obedience to the commands of God's Word is a much, much, much better way than walking after my own way. No wonder he says, thy statutes have been my songs, and the way that they became my song, this I had, because I kept thy precepts. Because he kept the precepts and principles of God's Word, his heart was filled with joy. Because he walked in faithful obedience to God's Word, his lips were filled with song. Indeed, keeping and obeying God's Word became the pleasure of his heart. Even so, we see it again in Psalm 119, verse 127 through 131. Psalm 119, beginning of verse 127, the psalmist again expressed the pleasure of his heart, saying, therefore, I love thy commandments above gold, yea, above fine gold. Therefore, I esteemed all thy precepts concerning all things to be right, and I hate every false way. Thy testimonies are wonderful, therefore doth my soul keep them. The entrance of thy words giveth light, it giveth understanding unto the simple. I opened my mouth and panted, for I longed for thy commandments. You see how much he found pleasure in obeying the Word of God? Here he declares that he esteemed the truths of the Word of God to be a greater love than the wealth of the world. He says it yet again in Psalm 119, verse 167, my soul hath kept thy testimonies, and I love them exceedingly. I love them exceedingly. keeping God's Word with faithful obedience should be the exceeding love of our hearts. Far greater than our desire to obtain much material wealth. Noah, I'd like to give you a gift here this morning. Would you like to receive it? Would you like to come up here and receive this? This is a 420s. If I had a fifth 20, I'd put it in there too and make it a full $100. But there are 420s here this morning. How much would you like these? Well, show me. I mean, do you want them or not? Well, then come get them. Wait. Would you be willing to run around the room 20 times for these? You would? With no hesitation. Go ahead. Would you, Tiffany?
No.
No, not really?
I would.
All right, go ahead, Patrick. Start running. All right, I'm not really going to make you do... What? You're not supposed to, but do you want $80 or not? Okay, now you don't really have to run around the room 20 times. Here's what I want to point out. I start flashing around money, and some of you start perking up real big. Beth's over there thinking, 20 times? Make it 10 and we'll go. I start flashing money. I watch Noah go, ooh. Yeah, I said, you want a gift? And he's thinking, well, what is it? I hold up $80, because that's all, well, I have 81. I've got a one up there, but I didn't figure you cared about it. You'll take the one? I hold up these $80 here, and Noah's like, ooh, I'll take that. I didn't even offer it to Tiffany, and she was back there going, me. Can you, hey, woo! I talk about running around the room 20 times, and a few of them are a little hesitant. Oh, maybe not. But Patrick, Wesley, they're like, who? Dude, I'm in. Now, why are we so interested in this? But when I say, Noah, I got a gift for you. I'd like to have a Bible study with you this afternoon. He says, yeah, but that's my PlayStation time. That's my nap time. Are you kidding me? Well, I want to go home and get dinner. The point I'm making, I think you're getting, is that we perk up for this. And these aren't even fine gold. But we grudgingly come to this. And this is far more valuable than fine gold. Well, it is. But many of us don't really esteem it as such. And because we don't really esteem it as greater than fine gold, we'll chase after the mighty dollar, but we'll neglect the true word. Shame on us. So the Word of God needs to become a greater pleasure to us than getting money is, and getting possessions are, than enjoying pleasure is. I offer to have a pizza party and all the teens will show up. I offer to have a Bible study and, well, I got other things to do. Why? Because we find pleasure in pizza, but not in the Word. Brethren, it needs to change. And that's the point. Directing our ways to keep God's Word means that keeping God's Word should become the pleasure of our hearts. The psalmist said, I love them exceedingly. He said, I love thy commandments above gold, yea, above fine gold. Rebecca, when your husband-to-be asked you to marry him and handed you that ring with that diamond on it, was there any gleam in your eye? How about you, Tiffany? She's checking with Mark to see what she's allowed to say. Then you didn't get it? How about you? When he put that ring on your finger, did it mean something to you? Yeah, you guess you liked it. My wife has been reminding me that we just celebrated our 20th, and on the 25th, you're supposed to get diamonds. I'm telling her, well, then I'd like some diamonds. Oh, you're supposed to get a honking big diamond. So I told her, all right, I want a honking big diamond. But somehow it doesn't go that direction. Did you ever notice that in all of the rules about these anniversaries, the guy always has to get it for the woman? The rule book's written by women, isn't that? That must be it. Must be it. But the fact is that what if on the 25th anniversary, I come to my wife and I say, I have some wonderful gift for you. And she goes, that honk a big diamond? I said, no, I bought you a Bible. Now, I'm not going to ask her what she'll say. But the point is some women would go, are you kidding me? My engagement ring? You don't even have enough to buy me a ring? You buy me a Bible instead? Yeah, I can't wear a Bible on my finger. What are you talking about? I can carry it around, but I can't wear it on my finger. And I can't show it to all the other women and have them go, ooh, ah. See, because we don't really esteem this. Now, I'm not saying, guys, Patrick, Wesley, Joshua, if you want to engage her, buy her a diamond. Amen? But buy her a Bible, too. Ooh, two presents. Amen? But do you understand what I'm trying to drive toward? I'm trying to say that we have this natural desire to acquire wealth, but not to learn the Word of God and obey it. It's no wonder our lives aren't directed to obey the Word of God. Because we just don't love it that much. We just don't find that much pleasure in it. We just don't have that much interest therein. You see, brethren, we should view the truth of God's Word as right and righteous, as wise and wonderful in all things, so that we find our greatest pleasure in following its light and in gleaning its understanding. It should be the pleasure of our hearts. But keeping God's Word should also be our policy because of the Lord's grace. Why should we be moved to this? Why should we be moved to make it the pleasure of our hearts? Because of the grace of God to us. In Psalm 19, verse number 55. In Psalm 119, verse number 55. The psalmist there expressed the policy of his own life, saying this, I have remembered thy name, O Lord, in the night. So it starts with, I remembered your name. I remembered what you've done for me. And then what was his response? And have kept thy law. Turn to verse number 57, just two verses later. Again, he says, Thou art my portion, O Lord. I focus myself on not just what the Lord has done for me, but what the Lord is right now for me and what He shall ever remain for me. And all of that, I see God's grace in my life. I see His hand of grace upon my life. And what is my response to that? It says, Thou art my portion, O Lord. I have said that I would keep Thy words. See, the psalmist's policy of life was to keep God's Word with faithful obedience. And the reason that he made this the policy of his life was because of the Lord's gracious hand in his life. He remembered the Lord's name and he recognized that the Lord, by His abundant grace, was the true portion for his abundant life. Then in response to his focus upon the Lord's gracious hand, The psalmist established his life policy to keep the Lord's Word throughout his life. In like manner, brethren, the Lord our God, by His abundant grace, is the true portion of our abundant Christian lives. He's our gracious Savior and our gracious Shepherd. By His abundant grace we're saved eternally, and by His abundant grace we are sanctified daily, and by His abundant grace we are strengthened spiritually. Every good element in our lives, on every level whatsoever, finds its source in the Lord's abundant grace. So how should we respond to that? Well, because of His abundant grace to us, we should establish the life policy to keep His Word with faithful obedience. In 1 Peter chapter 2 and in verse 2, the instruction is given, "As newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the Word, that ye may grow thereby." Many of you may be familiar with that verse. As I begin to quote it, many of you may have joined in and in your mind began to quote it along with me. But how many of you know the verse that follows right after it? The verse that gives the motivator for keeping that. See, the sentence actually begins in verse 1 and ends in verse 3. We often quote verse 2, which is the central command of the sentence. But by not quoting verse 1 and not quoting verse 3, we miss some of the truths. Now right now I'm not quoting verse 1. It doesn't relate to the truth I'm trying to make here this morning. But verse 3 does. It says, "As newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the Word, that ye may grow thereby, if so be ye have found that the Lord is gracious." Now let me ask you, if you've trusted Christ as Savior here this morning, have you found that the Lord was gracious? Actually, it's "if so be ye have tasted that the Lord is gracious." In order to maintain that idea of the milk of the Word as newborn babes, to keep that picture before you, the idea that when you trusted Christ as Savior, you tasted His grace. Now in tasting His grace, you should be more hungry for that same grace. And the way to obtain it is to be in the Word and be obeying the Word of God. How many of you have ever tasted good chocolate? I mean good chocolate. Kerry, what would the brand of really good chocolate be? Godiva chocolate. It's my opinion, it's all bad. But that's because I don't like chocolate. So that's why I got to ask somebody else. Some may have different opinions, but you know, if my wife wants me to buy her chocolates for her, she doesn't want that or that or that junk stuff. She wants me to buy Godiva chocolate. It's good stuff. You've had it. You say it's good stuff. When you normally eat chocolate, is that normally what you get to eat? A little bit too expensive, isn't it? But you've tasted it. So that means that if I invite you over to my house and I lay out trays of chocolate and I have the different brands there and I have, and then I have Godiva, and I say you may have as much of whatever brand of chocolate you like, which one's the one you're going to sit down in front of and eat? Oh, the Godiva stuff. And my wife says, I shouldn't be offering it to you. If I have any of that, it better be given to her. Amen? But the fact is once you've tasted the good stuff, you don't really want the other stuff if the good stuff's available. I can tell you this, my wife ruined me. She's not happy that she ruined me, but she did. When I was growing up, we used to eat macaroni and cheese all the time. With macaroni and cheese with hot dogs cut up in it, macaroni and cheese this, macaroni and cheese that. But it was always made from Kraft macaroni and cheese box. Then I got married and my wife made macaroni and cheese the first time that she made it, and she made it homemade. Well, guess what? I'm not eating that stuff out of that box ever again. Not as long as she's alive. Now, if she dies before I do, I might get stuck because I don't cook. Hopefully, one of the boys will marry a girl that can learn how to make it, and then I'll just go over to her house. You know? Your father-in-law is coming to get some homemade macaroni and cheese with his walker, whatever it is. You know, the fact of the matter is, that box stuff. This is recorded, and Kraft will not be buying this advertisement. Right? But I don't want that other stuff, man. If my wife says, hey, I'm going to make macaroni and cheese this week. I said, from the box or homemade? From the box. I'm not eating. Make the good stuff. Amen? Once you've tasted the good stuff, you don't want that other stuff anymore. See, when you got saved, you tasted the grace of God. And there's nothing better. Now, shouldn't you want more of that? Well, where are you going to find more of that? By learning and obeying the Word of God. It should be our policy to keep the Word of God because of the Lord's grace. Number 11 on our list, third this morning. Keeping God's Word should be the pursuit of our lives. As the pleasure of our lives, as the policy of our lives, all because of God's grace, then we should really just knuckle down and get after it. We need to just get to pursuing, get to chasing after that. Psalm 119, verse number 59. Immediately after making this statement, or very quickly after making this statement, in verse 55, I've remembered Thy name, O Lord, in the night, and have kept Thy law. Verse 57, Thou art my portion, O Lord. I've said that I would keep Thy words. Just two verses later, verse 59, I thought on my ways and turned my feet unto Thy testimonies. I made haste and delayed not to keep Thy commandments. Here in the psalmist indicated his thoughtful examination and thoughtful consideration of the direction of his life. He stopped for a moment and he said, which way am I really going? Where is my life really headed right now? You know, sometimes we need to do just that. We read earlier in the introduction out of Proverbs chapter 4 where he said a few verses later, I pondered the path of my feet. There are times we need to just stop going the way we're going. We need to stop and examine which way am I going and where is this going to end me up? He thoughtfully examined his past ways and thoughtfully considered his present direction. And then he made a purposeful decision. He purposefully decided to set the direction of his life upon a path of obedience to God's Word. Some number of years ago, a man who had been away from God for 12 years decided to stop and examine his path. When he examined his path and asked himself, where am I right now? And where am I going? And is that really where I want to be? He made a decision. He made a decision to come back to God. And I praise the Lord, I can count that man as one of my best friends in this church. But that testimony given could be given of more than just that one. Amen? Sometime we have to stop and say, where am I going? And when we examine that, we may need to say, that's not where I want to go. I need to make a decision to change this path on which I'm headed and go the right way. To pursue the right way. To quit just drifting and quit just traveling the wrong way. And to just get myself going in the right way. He made that decision. He didn't tell his wife. But he showed up to church the next Sunday. If I have the testimony correct, he got home from church and his wife said, where did you go? And he said, I went to church. And she said, why didn't you tell me? I'd have gone with you. I know this for sure. When he attended the services, he approached the pastor sometime later in that week, or the pastor and he met. He made comment about having been away from the Lord. And how that he wanted to come back, and so he came back to the church where he'd started with the Lord. Didn't know for sure that he'd end up becoming a member of that church or stay for the long term. He certainly didn't want to join right away because there were some things in his life that he knew would be a good testimony for God. In particular, he mentioned smoking. 2 weeks later, he approached the pastor and said, I'm ready to join. Now, the pastor had told him, look, smoking is not one of the qualifications, or should I say, one of the disqualifications for being the member of a church. You could join, let God work in your life and bring you out of that. But he said, no, this is a bad testimony. I will not continue in this practice and be a member of the church. 2 weeks later, he approached the pastor and said, I'm ready to join. The pastor obviously said, what about the smoking? He said, I gave it up 2 weeks ago. What was that? That was a decision. A decision made to direct his way in the right way instead of the wrong one. Has he committed sin since that time? Sure he has. No doubt about it. We're not talking necessarily about being able to make a decision to become perfect from that point forward. We're talking about making a decision to start a new direction in life. Amen? Some here this morning need to establish a new direction for their life. And then they need to just knuckle down and pursue that new direction, like the psalmist did here. See, he purposefully turned his feet to pursue after obedience to the truths of God's Word, and he purposely engaged himself in that pursuit wholeheartedly. He said he did it with haste. He did it without hesitation. Verse number 60, I made haste and delayed not to keep thy commandments. You know, sometimes God convicts our heart to do something, and we say, yeah, I need to do that. I'll get to it. No, we don't need to get to it. If God convicts your heart to do something, you need to do it now. Because if you keep putting it off and keep saying, I'll get to it, you never will. It's kind of like my wife on a completely different front, but my wife read to me a statement about all those times. I'm pretty sure she was trying to get my attention about something, but you know, I'm not one of those guys you can be subtle with. Can't beat around the bush, I won't get it. So I still didn't get it, dear. But she passed along this joke that she read on Facebook. Not that everything on Facebook's good, but she thought this one was. It was a statement from a husband to his wife that said, dear, you don't need... Dear, we husbands will get to those projects and fixing those things around the house. You don't need to remind us every 6 months. Amen? Now the problem is what the husband is doing is saying, I will get to it. And what the wife is saying is, when? With God, it's similar. God is saying, hey, get to it. And we say, I'll get to it. And God has been saying, for how long? When? You said that 6 months ago. You said that a year ago. You said that a year and a half ago. You said that 2 years ago. When are you going to get to it? Brethren, it's time to get to it now. Now is the time. Amen? Is the accepted time. We must purposely choose to establish our ways in a wholehearted pursuit of obedience to God's holy word. And then the last one here this morning. Keeping God's word should be the principle for our friendships. You know what? We're going to pass that one off to next week. Amen? We'll pass that one off to next week. It's an important one, really important, and I want to be able to spend some time on it. So we'll pass that one off to next week. These three this morning. Keeping God's word should be the pleasure of our hearts. Keeping God's word should be our policy because of the Lord's grace. And keeping God's word should be the pursuit of our lives. Not something we're putting off, something we're pursuing after. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I pray that again, as I prayed at the beginning of the message, stir us. Stir us because we need to go the right way. And we need to get to it right now. And wherever we have not been going the right way, we need to repent right now. And then immediately get on track right now. Lord, how many right now are under conviction? I don't know. The Spirit of God, I'm sure, is at work. I pray, Lord, in the next few moments that there would be some who would indeed come to repentance immediately and come to change immediately in their lives. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.